Song of Solomon, chapter 6. Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with you? My beloved is gone down into his garden, to the bed of spices, to feed in the gardens, and to gather lilies. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. He feeds among the lilies. Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tisra, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Turn away your eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Gilead. Thy teeth are as a flock of sheep which go up from the washing, whereof every one bears twins, and there is not one barren among them. As a piece of pomegranate are thy temples within thy locks. There are 70 queens and 40 concubines and virgins without number. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her, yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Who is she that looks forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? I went down into the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley, and to see whether the vine flourished, or the pomegranates budded. Wherever I was aware, my soul made me like the chariots of Ammi-Nabib. Return, return, O Shulamite, return, return, that we may look upon you. What will we see in the Shulamite? As it were, the company of two armies. Oh, Father, help us today to understand the beauty of your word. Father, the relationship that you're trying to show us that you desire in our lives with you. Father, this book is so inspired by your Spirit that the carnal mind has no understanding and no reasoning in the beauty that you've placed within it. Father, this morning we ask that you would open our minds and you would settle that peace in our hearts, that we would not wrestle, but we would listen, and Father, we would take in what your Spirit is pouring out for us to drink. Father, we bless you. We love you today. Amen. We come to chapter 6, and who is speaking in this first verse? Now, there's three people that could be speaking. It could be Solomon, and that's the Shulamite, the woman. It could be the Christ, her man, or it could be the rest of the women. Now, who do you think this is starting this conversation off? The rest of the women. So you know what that tells me? That this woman, this Shulamite, this soul of Solomon, has done something. She has been talking about her man. She's been portraying her man. More than in just discussion, she has been showing him in her lifestyle. And all of a sudden, these other women have gotten jealous. And they want to know, where is your beloved gone? O you fairest or most beautiful among women. Now look what they've done. These other women have said, you're the most beautiful among all of us. And you're the one with the man. See, now we ain't talking about somebody with beautiful eyes and beautiful hair like we think. This is a woman who's portraying the beauty of God in her life. And someone's saying, my God, you are just like him. You two have become one. Oh my. So what do you think it's going to do to you when you realize people start to see you really what you are? Oh my God. And people start coming to you and saying, what have you got? What has changed you so much that you're beautiful now? You're like him. Huh? See, she's been doing something, hasn't she? Could you understand that? And she said, where is your beloved turned aside? Uh-oh. They recognize something. What's going on? They don't see him. But see, what is the real problem? Did he leave?
No.
See, because they're not seeing two. They're only seeing one. Guess what they missed? Because they're looking through carnal eyes. and they only see Steve or Bill or Emma or Bob. See, they only see that. Where did he go? Because I don't see two no more. Well, how about we become one? See, they're looking through the wrong eyes. They think he's departed because their natural eyes can't see him. God is spirit. And guess what? You can see him manifest in flesh, but you can't see him with fleshly eyes. I promise you that. And look at her answer. My beloved. Does that talk about somebody with that relationship we was talking about? There's relationship. My beloved. Now, you don't call somebody your beloved unless you've got an intimate relationship with them, do you? So she says, my beloved is descended into his garden. Sounds like somebody coming from above, coming to the earth, doesn't it? And that garden is right here. See, it all started in the garden, and it's going to end in the garden, because this is the garden. This is all symbolism. And the Garden of Eden is no more than the mind of Christ. And when he went to the garden just prior to his death, didn't he? And it went right back to the garden. Started the garden, went right back into the garden again. He's gone down into his garden to the what? Beds of spices. Huh? It's a place of intimacy, but it says spices. See? A place, a bed of spices and fragrance. You know what that is? He went to his first fruit. Jesus said, I've not been sent to the Gentiles, didn't he? He said, I've been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the first fruit. We're not talking literal Jew here. We're talking about first fruit, spiritual Jews, the ones who have always been spiritual from the beginning. If you go back and look in Deuteronomy 10:16, Jeremiah 4:4, and there's several other places in the Old Testament, Moses wrote in the Pentateuch to circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Does that sound like a physical Jew or a spiritual Jew? The foreskin of your heart has to be spiritual. Moses wrote about it, so he knew that there was an intimacy with God beyond the natural Jew that was being walked out for shadows and types. Okay? So we got to look at these things and see them. He's went to the beds of spices, that's the first fruit, to feed in the gardens and to gather lilies. See, what did he go there for? To gather the lilies, right? What do you think that is? There it is again. He went there into that garden to gather what was already there. Didn't it say we knew him before the foundation of the world? Job said in Job 38:5 or 37:5, God said to Job, weren't you standing right here with me? Weren't you right there with me when the morning stars sung together? Could you imagine that picture, what it would be like to be all standing in the presence of God, worshiping and praising him for what he was doing in your life, and you could see the future out there? You're going to remember that one of these days. You're going to see it. And then he said, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. He feeds what? Take the word among out. It's an added word. You betcha. He feeds the lilies. The lilies, the little word lily is literally a word, it's a trumpet. It's shushame or something like that, the word in the Hebrew. But it's like a trumpet shape. And what does a trumpet always symbolize? The voice of God, the word of God. So he feeds the people with the word of God. Who's he feeding? He's feeding those lilies, those trumpets, the ones that he chose before the foundation. And he's putting the word in their mouth. Didn't he say, don't take a thought of what you'll say, because in the very hour that you need it, I will place it within your mouth. Okay? Oh. Verse 4. Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tisra. You know what the word Tisra is? This is what it means. It means benevolent, or it means this other meaning, organized for the benefit of love. What do you think this group was organized for? The benefit of love. That's what the word means. Organized for the benefit. All this is organized for the benefit of love. Who is love? him. He is love. He said, comely, or literally, as beautiful as Jerusalem. Jerusalem being what? Peace. Peace. You're as beautiful as the teaching of peace. Okay? I think he is, isn't he? And this is her talking about him. Turn away, oh, Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Well, that's not right. Literally, it's awesome as a raised standard or someone that's conspicuous. See? What is he amongst the crowd? He should be conspicuous as a raised banner, shouldn't he? In my life or in your life, he should be as conspicuous as a raised banner. See? Today we want to fly the American flag. Well, I'd rather fly his flag. I'd rather have his banner flying over me than all the flags of the world. I'm not interested in these worldly things. I'm not worried about the pride of an American. I'm trying to get rid of pride. See? I don't need pride. I need his humility. So this is about him being as awesome as this raised standard or conspicuous. You could also see the cross in that if you want to. Raised up. He said, turn your eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Literally, that word overcome is captured. They have captured me. Could you imagine this? I think about the eyes of God. And I think about a man named Peter who betrayed Jesus when he spoke, I'll not deny you. What do you think went through him at the moment that morning in the third watch when he said, I don't know the man, and cursed a little bit. And there he was, and he looked over and saw him. What do you think those eyes did to him? I'm sure Peter went out and had a problem, had to deal with.
Couldn't that be the same as whenever Paul's eyesight was captured on the road?
Could be. Could absolutely be. He said, your hair, and what is hair?
Covering.
Covering. Said, your covering, and what is his covering? Righteousness. You know, the whiteness of righteousness. Your hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Gilead. Or literally, as a part of Gilead. And Gilead means what? A rock or a rocky place. Rocky or a rock. And wasn't he the rock? Christ was a piece of that rock that came to the earth for us, right? So he's just saying, your righteousness is as the flock of goats on the mountain. And I'm sure if you went to the mountainous region over there and looked upon Mount Gilead from a distance and saw these big flocks of goats running around, I imagine it would be very beautiful. But see, we're not talking about natural things here, are we? We're talking about things going on in here. And that Mount Gilead is a place of the rock. That's God's mountain, I would say, wouldn't you? And then he says, verse 6, your teeth are as the flock of sheep that go up from the washing, whereof every one bears twins. Well, I have to beg to differ with some of these words. The word bearing twins literally means joined together. Now, we're talking about teeth, right? So what would that have to do with bearing twins? Literally, the word means they're joined together. So what he's saying is your teeth ain't got big gaps in them. You ain't missing a few of them, okay? Can you see the analogy? Bearing twins has nothing to do with it. That's something they've added in. Where everyone is joined together, and there is not one what? Not barren, but not one missing. Can you see the picture? We're not talking about a Southern Ohio smile with teeth missing. We're talking about a godly smile where all the teeth are there, healthy, prosperous, righteous words flowing from it. Sure. And why are they white and beautiful and cleaned up? Because they know who they are. See, the mind knows who it is, so now it speaks from that. The teeth are just part of the mouth that speaks the word of God, so it's white, it's righteous. Okay? And there's none missing, so they're all in order. Got it all. And my book says he poured out his spirit upon his sons without measure. So what would be missing? Nothing. Nothing. And see, we're as much the Son as what Jesus was when he walked on the earth. We're the same Son. We're just a part of that same corporate Son. If you think that he's greater than you are, you've missed something. We're joint heirs. We're brothers. He's my older brother. My older brother is no better than me, is he? He's just a brother. He's just older. Might have a little more responsibility, but he ain't no better. As a piece of pomegranate are thy temples within thy locks. As a piece of pomegranate are your temples within your locks. The word locks is literally veil. Okay? So looking within the veil, here he says, can you see a veil on a woman like in that Oriental culture? And a little piece of the, you know, they don't show no flesh, do they? That's good when you don't show flesh, you know? Especially around the head. See, because that's a thinking process. But this pomegranate literally speaks of a decoration. It speaks of the mind of Christ. Okay? So there's parts of it showing around the locks in the temples. What's in here? The mind, see? So there's little pieces of it that's being shown. And it goes into verse 8 and says, there are 70 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. 70, what's the number? 60. Okay, I'm going to write on the board. 70 is 60, right? Just do away with that one. What number are we talking about? And there's 80 concubines. What's the number?
Eight.
Do away with this one too. It's just a new beginning. Okay? And virgins without number. So he says, literally, here's what you got to deal with. This mind of Christ, where is it at? It's in humanity, and it's a new beginning. Okay? That mind of Christ is in here. It's a new beginning in us. And the virgins without number. That's the first fruit. Can't number them. My dove, my undefiled or my perfect one, what it literally says, she is the one of her mother, the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The other daughters saw her and blessed her, yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Now this word for concubine stands for two things. It stands for a concubine or a paramour. Does anybody know what a paramour is? It's a male prostitute. The concubine is more or less a female prostitute. Okay? It's a male prostitute. So we could go a long ways with that, but I don't want to get off on that issue. But all these other worldly people, they praised this daughter. Did they not? This woman? Who is this woman? My book says when you serve God in the right way, that you'll have praise of God and of men. Okay? But it's in His time. There's going to be a time when men come back to the ones that's preaching the truth, and they're going to have respect for Him. Did you know God said that was going to be so? Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. What's it say? There are some who say they are Jews, but they're not. They do lie. They're of the synagogue of Satan. That don't mean they live in the devil's house. That just means they're living with their own thinking process. I will make them come and worship at your feet so that they will know that I have loved you. Is that hereafter? No. No, 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 no. That's now in this lifetime. Okay? So, in verse 10, we got a little thing here that throws us off base here. The word she, it's not in there. The word she is literally, who is this? It's the word this. Who is this that looks forth as the morning? Maybe it is or it isn't, but you know, the word says this. Who is this that looks forth as the morning? Who is the morning?
Christ.
He's the dawn, the bright morning star. Who is this that looks forth as the Christ? Beautifully. Mm-hmm. The other ladies. See, the other ladies. The ones that's looking in at her, which is Solomon's soul. It's going on within us. And this is the other people saying, who is she that looks forth as the morning, or this that looks forth as the morning? Beautiful as the moon. Okay, I can take you back to Genesis 37 and show you the moon represented Joseph's mother. We're talking about the soul again. See? Who is this that's beautiful as the morning, beautiful as the moon, as beautiful as the soul is supposed to be? Clear. The word clear is literally white or righteous. She's righteous as the sun. Are we not righteous as He is? It says, whatever He is, when He appear, we shall be as He is. Righteous, white, clear, holy. As the sun. Isn't the sun a symbol of Him? And as terrible or as awesome as an army with banners. Now, this army thing isn't even in there. That's the second time it's been in there. It's not in there. It should be as awesome and conspicuous. Who is awesome and conspicuous. See? Because when He stands up in you, you're going to be very conspicuous. Do you know that? You know, when Jesus was ministering, as I'm ministering right now in Mark, He could never find peace. They had to go hide someplace. They didn't even have time. They couldn't even eat. They were so busy. Because of all the things going on, the ministry going on for the people, I need. And Him and His disciples, He said, come on, boys, let's come aside by yourselves. I've got to take you out here and let you eat. You're going to fall over if you don't get some rest. But take you aside. And this is what's going to happen. There's going to come to a place where you're going to be so conspicuous, you can't even hide from it. No matter how much you try, and every now and then you're going to need to get away a little bit, but you know it's going to come to that. This is Him speaking. I went down into the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley. Now, we ain't going to go nowhere on that one. Bunch of nuts and fruits and flakes. That's that granola Christians, you know. That's what He said, wasn't it? But I ain't going there. I'm going to go somewhere else. He said, I went down to the garden of nuts and to see the fruits. Literally, the word fruit is the greenness. I went down there to see the greenness of the valley. Greenness speaks of life. So I went down to the valley. This is speaking about Christ telling you He come to earth. You hear me? See, He said, I come down to see about the life here on earth. There wasn't very much there, was there? There was no life till He came. But anyway, He says, I come down to see the greenness of the valley and to see whether the vine flourished. No, whether it bloomed. See, I want to see if the vine would bloom. I want to know if this earth with my seed in it is going to produce. That's what He's telling you. Are you going to produce? If you're not going to bloom, you're surely not going to bring forth fruit, are you? Fruit, bloom is the first process for fruit. So He says that. And the pomegranates blossom. Pomegranate again is that mind again. Doesn't it say that He is the vine and we are the branches? Right? See, it's Him in the valley that's bringing forth the blossom, the bloom and the blossom. Now, verse 12, this is a neat one. The words or ever should be this. Oh, look out what happened here. Well, now you have to look, see what context it's in. Look at the context it's in. The words or ever should not be or ever. It should be before. I was aware is the word yada in the Hebrew. What's it mean? To know. Before I knew it, my soul made me like the chariots of Amminadab. Now, what's it telling you? This isn't a positive thing here. Because your soul does not convert your spirit. Does it? Does anybody remember this verse in the New Covenant, New Testament, where Jesus said, be not deceived, evil communication corrupts lifestyles. Okay? Be not deceived, evil communication corrupts good manners. Jesus said that in the Gospels. It probably is there in Corinthians 2. But anyway, so He's saying, before I knew, I was aware of it, before I knew it, my soul made me or had me turned into the chariots of Abinadab. What's a chariot? It's a vessel. Something to move around in. It's a Cadillac back then of wood. It's humanity. And Amminadab, does anybody know who he was? This is a secret. In his name, see, many times God puts these names in there, and in the meanings of that name tells you what he's trying to tell you. In this name, it means the tribe of Amminadab, it means preeminence, or it means the father of Korah. Uh-oh, ouch, uh-oh. Who was Korah? They were the ones who stood up against Moses, who was God, was Christ, right? And what happened to them? They were sucked into the earth, weren't they? The earth opened up and swallowed them. Ho-ho. So he says, even with all this relationship, you got to make sure your man's in control. See? Now, he's not blaming the woman. He's exposing that the woman is the one that's going to get you down. See, when I let my mind, my will, my emotions control me and make my decisions, that's when I'm going to be caught just like Korah. I'll be swallowed up in the earthly thinking whenever I let my woman tell me what to do. Now, I'm not talking natural here. I'm talking about inside of each one of us. When I have that relationship with the Christ in me and my woman tries to overtake him, I'm going to end up swallowed up by earthly thinking, just like Korah was in his. And see, it wasn't just Korah. It was Korah and everybody that was with him and all their families too. It wasn't just the person that did it. It was everybody in their family. The sons of Korah was the ones that was swallowed up. All of them. Okay? So that means we need to be in constant awareness of our soul not trying to override our spirit. Do you hear that? We got to be aware that my woman does not try to take the place of my man. That my emotions don't try to get in the driver's seat and try to tell what's going on. It's got to be that levelness we were talking about. No peaks, no valleys. I can make the decision on what God said. Period. I don't care what I feel like. You hear what I'm saying? I got to make that decision. That decision will come from your spirit. Your soul will never give you a decision like that, because she'll be up and down. See, emotions. Huh? Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Same thing, isn't it? They put it in subjection. And then it speaks out and says, here's the women speaking again. Return, return. Literally saying, come back, come back. Oh, Shulamite. You know what that is? That's them thinking you strange when you're not running in excess with them again, in riot with them. Come back, come back. Oh, soulish one. Come back, come back, that we may look upon you. What will we see in you, Shulamite, woman, soul? What can we see in you? Come on and play with us. Let's go run in excess. See, that's what he's telling you is going to happen. Be not deceived. Evil lifestyles corrupt good lifestyles. See, God didn't say, hey, you're a good guy and you go out there and change everybody's lifestyle. Until you know who you are, till you have that intimate relationship with him, until you are at one with him, till you've went through the marriage process and the production process, with your womb being reached into by the hand of your man, okay, and stirring you in your reproduction of him, you're going to be in trouble when you run with him. See? I have to be solid foundation so I can stand when my house is built upon the rock, the winds and the rain and the floods is not going to move me off. But when I think I'm built there and I'm still built on sand, which is all them little bitty pieces of rock, guess what? That's religion. And every time it comes against you, you'll fall. Great is the fall of the house. We are the house. See, which foundation are we built upon? Is it soulish or is it spiritual? If we're on the soulish realm, we're in trouble. What shall we see in you? In you, what will we see in the Shulamite? Or that Solomon's soul, the perfected one. What shall we see in there? And then it says, as it were, shouldn't even be there. Okay? This is a hard one for me to explain, but I'm going to do the best I can. It says, as it were, the company of two armies. Well, the company isn't right. The word company is this word. dance. Now, hang with me. It says dance. As the dance of what? Literally, not two camps. The word two isn't there. I know it's implied by being her being duality, okay? But the word's not in the language. Literally, it says of a encampment, okay? What does an encampment or a camp mean to you? Well, not necessarily a fort. But when you go and camp someplace, it means you're going to do what? Stay there. You're going to stay there, ain't you? You're going to bivouac, stay there, camp out, whatever. You're going to stay there. So what they're saying, if you go back in culture and realize when they come into an encampment where they were going to stay for a while, they'd come in, pitch their tents, build a fire, eat, and then they'd begin to dance. Why? Because this is it, baby. This is where we're staying. This is it. So are we going to see when she said there, come back, come back. Come on back, Shulamite. Come on back that we can look at you. Will we see, what will we see in you, Shulamite? The one that's going to stay where she's at? Or are we going to see the one that's going to go back? Which one is it? Am I going to be the one in duality and going to go back and forth, up and down in the valley to the peaks? Or am I going to be the one that's going to sit down and stay there? Am I going to stay with my man? Or am I going to go back and play in the realm with the other women, the concubines and the paramours? What am I going to be? You hear me? What are we going to be? Are we going back every time a wind of doctrine changes? If God is God today, He's God forever. It don't make no difference. I don't care if someone burns my house down, shoots me, steals everything. God's still God. It doesn't have any change on the bearing of the temperature or things that's going on in life. God is God because He is God. And no one voted Him God. He's God because of what He is, His nature and His character. He just is. I'd like to go ahead and preach some more, but I'm not. I know it's time to stop. So I'm going to turn this off and then we'll talk.